Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Stoked by fury, the Tea Party movement is suddenly all over on the American political landscape. It's angry, it's loud, it's got grassroots and big money and increasingly real clout. Some call it a voice of the future, some a last gasp of the past. Right now, it's moving attitudes and election campaigns, and it promises more to come. This hour on Point, we're taking the measure of the Tea Party tide. You can join the conversation. What do you hear in the Tea Party roar? Is that your roar? Is that what you fear? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're joined first today by two activists from the front lines of the Tea Party movement. From Royal Oak, Michigan, we're joined by Jeffrey McQueen. He was laid off from his job in the auto industry last year. This week, he's been protesting government involvement in that industry outside the big auto show in Detroit. He's the founder of USRevolution2.com, which has created a new American flag, which he hopes will serve as a symbol for the Tea Party movement, kind of Betsy Ross style with a two in the middle. Jeffrey McQueen, welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Tom.
It's very good to have you. And with us from Dallas, Texas, is Lori Medina. She's a stay-at-home mom and lifelong conservative who has become an important leader in the Dallas Tea Party movement. She meets with activists and organizers across a wide area of Texas, helps them start their own local groups. Lori Medina, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, from Big D.
Hello to Big D. Lori, let me start with you. You're front and center there in the Tea Party movement in Dallas. What are you against and what are you for?
Well, I'm against our liberties and freedoms being taken away from. I'm against high taxes. I'm against the ever-expansion of our ever-growing large government. I am for freedom, and I am for Americans being able to live their lives as free as they can.
Are you a Republican?
Yes, I am a Republican.
Is the Tea Party Republican?
No, it's not.
So what is it?
That's a great question. We get that a lot. You know, the great thing about the Tea Party movement is that, you know, we are nonpartisan, at least here in Dallas, we are nonpartisan. And the fantastic thing about that is I would say that at least 25 to 30% of our membership are made up of people that would never consider themselves Republicans. I would say those people are what you would call moderate Democrats, people that voted for Barack Obama. We have independents, and then we have some people that would never characterize themselves with any political label of any kind, ever. So we have a very large group of people that do not cling to the GOP by any means.
Jeff McQueen, why are you out there marching in Tea Party parades?
For many of the same reasons, but also because I'm trying to help this, you know, Tea Party movement establish a symbol of hope, which is this flag of the Second American Revolution. There's many other symbols out there, and every great political movement has always had a symbol. Similarly, President Obama had his symbol, but symbol, I feel, brings hope.
What's your symbol mean? Describe your flag, your Tea Party flag for us, Jeff.
Yeah, basically, Betsy Ross did all the design work. I just added a Roman numeral 2, and on the surface, it symbolizes the Second American Revolution. But also, a deeper meaning of this flag is that there is two times in the history of America, or actually in the history of the world, where 13 came together to change the course of all mankind. One was the Last Supper, where a faith was born on a foundation of love. And the second was when the 13 colonies got together and wrote a constitution framed in freedom. So with a foundation of love framed in freedom, what they created is the House of Liberty that Ronald Reagan talked about. And that's the house that cannot go into foreclosure. And that's really the deeper meaning of this flag.
So you've got a flag with a kind of Betsy Ross-style circle of stars and a Roman numeral 2 in the middle for Second American Revolution. And what do you mean by Second American Revolution, Jeff?
Well, I think what you're seeing in the Tea Party movement is a revolution and a reaffirmation of the traditional American beliefs that our forefathers had when they founded this country. And that's basically what we're trying to do now, is to reaffirm those beliefs and the freedoms that have basically brought a lot of hope to people from all over the country, and which has brought people from all over the country to the United States of America.
Lori, why has the Tea Party taken on so much heat so fast since the inauguration of Barack Obama?
Well, you know, I think it wasn't necessarily just the inauguration of Barack Obama. I think our country had been going downhill for a long time as far as rising taxes, rising regulations, just rising costs everywhere we go, just, you know, issues with immigration, just so many things. And I think we it was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think so many Americans around the country decided and that enough was enough and that it was time for many of us to stand up.
Stand up, but to what and why? I mean, you say it's been brewing for a long time, but it's really the election of Barack Obama that's brought it out into the streets. Why? Why now, Lori?
Well, I think there are many things that have happened over the past year as we've seen entire industries being taken over by our government. We've seen CEOs being thrown out of office by our government. We've seen a control of people's pay and telling people how much they can make by the government. There's just been such unbelievable things that have been occurring over this past year. And again, I think Americans have said, you know, we want to live our lives. We want the ability to choose what careers we want to work in. We want the ability to make, to pursue our careers and make as much money as we can. And that we want to live our lives. We want to be able to send our children to school, raise our families and live our lives.
Jeff McQueen, you know, we've seen signs, all kinds of signs at Tea Party rallies, some pretty wild ones, but some simply saying, give me my country back. And some have interpreted that as a kind of call from Americans who were once privileged, maybe racially or for other reasons, who now feel, you know, like that privilege is under attack or not so sure. Some describe it as a kind of a movement of anger and fear and longing for, I don't know, the 1950s again. White people large and in charge, everybody else not so. And, I mean, is this backward-looking? Is it forward-looking? Is it racist, Jeff?
No, actually, there's two issues here. One is economics and one is race. And, you know, the race card has been used against many of the people in the Tea Party movement, and that race card will disappear. Especially when people start to see black candidates supported by the Tea Party movement, like Lieutenant Colonel Alan West of Florida, and other candidates as they win offices across this country. And this will happen. And it's already happened down in Columbus. A city councilwoman was supported by the Tea Party woman. She's black, and she won, you know, her seat.
But I'm looking at a big Tea Party sign here at one protest, a big Obama's plan, white slavery.
Well, you know, many in the Tea Party have a lot of problems with Barack Obama, and I can tell you it's not because he's black. It's because we fear that he's red, and that's the real issue. And the other issue is economics. And I can tell you that a lot of Americans, whether they're Democrat or Republican or independent conservatives like myself, have seen a massive transfer of wealth from this country. And it's really not been from rich to poor in this country or from poor to rich in this country. It's been from the middle class to third world nations. And that's what's caused the collapse of the middle class. It's been, well, the erosion of the middle class. And that's what we've seen as the erosion of the UAW has occurred in the unions in the United States.
Lori, what do you make then of the other thing that comes up here is Nazi talk and Nazi symbols. Barack Obama with a Hitler mustache. I'm looking here at another big sign at a Tea Party rally. The American taxpayers, this is pretty rough, very rough. The American taxpayers are the Jews for Obama's ovens. What's up with all the Nazi references?
Well, I mean, that should be an indicator that, you know, this Tea Party movement is extreme grassroots and there are no leaders and there's nobody giving anyone marching orders. And there's all sorts of signs that pop up. And I'd say the vast majority of the signs are probably ones that you would probably laugh and giggle at if you read them. You know, I would say that probably doesn't represent vast majority of the grassroots people out there that are involved in the Tea Party movement.
Maybe that's right. I mean, we heard Mark Williams, a Tea Party leader, on Anderson Cooper 360 saying, you know, the people out there with the wild signs are no more part of the mainstream of America than the hippies who wear nipple clips and feather boas in San Francisco streets. But then Anderson looked at his blog, and it turns out Mark Williams himself was calling Obama the president, an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug and racist in chief. I mean, that seems to go. Mark Williams is not just anybody in the street.
Well, I mean, I can't say what Mark Williams says or does. I really don't know that gentleman.
Jeffrey, when you say you're afraid that President Obama is red, I assume you mean by that socialist.
Yes.
And what do you, where's the evidence of that? Where do you see the country going economically or policy-wise behind that charge?
Well, if you look at the people Barack Obama surrounded himself with, you know Van Jones, who's a self-proclaimed, you know, socialist, if you look at, you know, Dunn, who proclaims that, you know, one of her, you know, leaders or one of the people that she looks to for, you know, philosophical, you know, guidance is Mao Zedong, a person who murdered many of his own people in the Great Leap Forward. I question, you know, whether, you know, this man has really put a lot of thought to who he surrounded himself with, and it concerns me, and especially a lot of, you know, his activism in ACORN and his, you know, ties to SEIU. There's been a lot of those things.
Do you really fear that Barack Obama has something in common with Mao Zedong, you know, could produce the death of millions, Great Leap Forward? I mean, I'm not sure what you mean exactly by that.
Well, look at the health care bill. I mean, the health care bill is really nothing other than nationalized socialism. And, you know, what really concerns me as somebody that also has some Jewish heritage, you know, I've got a branch of my family that their last name was Babel, and many of them don't exist because of the Holocaust. And I look at, you know, what's happened with, you know, this national health care, and I think, you know, it just astounds me that Jewish people would line up to support nationalized socialism, which is what this health care bill is.
Some may call that an astounding comparison in itself, but we'll come back and look at it and the politics that are brewing here. Jeff McQueen, sorry to interrupt, but we've got a break right here. Please stand by. In Royal Oak, Michigan, Lori Medina in Dallas, Texas, we're talking about the hot and growing Tea Party movement. What do you see? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the hot and growing Tea Party movement and what it means for the GOP and for the country. We've got two Tea Party activists with us today from Dallas, Texas. Lori Medina, a leader in the Dallas Tea Party organization. From Royal Oak, Michigan, Jeffrey McQueen. He's founder of USRevolution2.com. He's created a new kind of Betsy Ross flag with a 2 in the middle. Time for a second American revolution, he says. Question here online from Sam. Lori, Jeffy says, what politicians or commentators, other than Sarah Palin, who will speak at the Nashville Tea Party Convention next month, speak to the concerns of the Tea Party movement? Who speaks for the movement? Lori?
Actually, I think that's the beauty of it, is the fact that we really don't have some big nationwide leader, speaker, celebrity, elected official. It truly is the people that are speaking, which really is a throwback to what Jeffrey is saying about the first American Revolution. We're not following some person that's giving us marching orders. This is all of us. We have these desires and feelings deep in our hearts, and we are following our hearts with this.
But Sarah Palin has been asked to come and speak at the Nashville Convention. Mark Rubio, running against Charlie Crist, the governor in Florida, made a lot of headway with Tea Party support. Jeff, are these people emerging as Tea Party leaders? Where do you expect the Tea Party movement, you know, election weight to be thrown?
Well, I think, you know, our founding fathers had a number of people with great leadership skills. But, you know, if you look at, you know, the Tea Party movement, there will be a lot of people very similar in their ability to lead this country. But I don't see, like Lori says, you know, that there's any one leader. You know, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, I think, has done a great job for us. I look at, you know, young people coming into the movement, like Lieutenant Colonel Alan West of Florida, or, you know, people like Scott Brown out in Massachusetts that may actually take, you know,
running for the
Teddy
Senate.
Kennedy Senate seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some really, and to be honest, if Scott Brown takes that Senate seat, you know, in Massachusetts, that's going to be a nuclear bomb blowing up in Massachusetts and should send an earthquake through the whole Democratic Party.
What about your politics, Jeff? Are you a Republican, independent? Where do you come from?
Well, I'm a direct descendant of John Peter McQueen, who fought in the first American Revolution, and I've always prided myself as being an independent conservative. I have voted, you know, Republican in the past. I voted for some Democrats, and, you know, and I've also voted for people that were of neither party.
And what about, I mean, here's another question from, this is from Facebook. Jeff says, I wonder where these folks were during the Bush years. Were they happy with the Bush administration's policies? If so, why? Lori.
There were a lot of things about the Bush years that we were unhappy about. I mean, I think there were a lot of things that Bush did as far as keeping our country safe after 9/11. I mean, I think that was a wonderful thing that he did for our country. But there were a lot of issues that we had problems with. We had the Medicare Part D. We had the attempt for immigration reform. We had the first TARP, that happened last fall. There were many things that we were not happy with.
But you weren't in the streets waving signs in those years, as far as I know, Lori.
Right. And I think things just continuing to snowball after Bush left office, I think it was just kind of a slow build after that that did drive us, as you say, to the streets.
Got a lot of callers here. Let's go to Hartford, Connecticut. Robert, you're on the air with Jeff McQueen in Michigan, Lori Medina in Dallas.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was calling with kind of a question that goes a bit back in the conversation, but it has to do with the race relations. I'm in Hartford right now, but I'm born and raised in Texas, and I have a whole lot of family in the Dallas area that are all very excitedly part of the Tea Party stuff. And I somehow ended up on their email lists, and I get emails from them that go to me as well as hundreds of other people that are pretty consistently very, very racist. They have all types of images and doctored photos of Obama and all types of stuff that is really, really terrifying. And I was wondering, especially your guest who's from the Dallas area Tea Party stuff, it just seems incredibly hard for me to believe that a certain degree of just freak out about our president being an African American isn't, a significant part of the motivation here. I mean, because I've had situations where I've responded to these, where I respond blanket to everyone just to see if all these names on this list are people that really support what's being sent, or if they're like me, just somehow ended up on this list.
Yeah.
And I'll be the only one that's maintaining the line that a depiction of, Obama as a sagging hoodlum thug peeing on America, on the U.S. map or whatever, is maybe not okay, or, even a lot worse, things I don't really want to say on air. But
Robert, stick with us. Let me put it to Lori Medina. She's there in Dallas, where you hail from, Texas. Lori, what do you say? There it is again, the racism problem.
It's incredibly unfortunate that this gentleman has received any kind of email of this nature.
But he has.
I can tell you that the organization that I'm with, Dallas Tea Party, we do not allow even a hint of any type of racist comments or activities or anything like that. He's certainly not receiving any emails from my organization. There's emails all over the place.
But
this
is out
there. I can't account for what. No, I don't. No, I don't know it's out there.
Open any newspaper.
No, I don't accept the premise that we're racist. Just because we don't like Barack Obama doesn't mean that we don't like black people. I mean, we don't like Barack Obama because of what he stands for and what he's doing to this country. It has nothing to do with his skin color. I mean, we support people of all colors that are conservative individuals. We have a fine man down here in Texas. Mm-hmm. His name is Michael Williams. He's black, and he hopefully is going to be running for Senate to take Kay Bailey Hutchison's seat, and we adore him. So, I mean, to say that the reason why we're upset with our country has to do with the color of Obama's skin is ridiculous. And actually, I think maybe you should talk to Harry Reid about that. He's the one that made comments about his skin color.
Robert, how about it? Are you persuaded? It's just they don't agree with Barack Obama's politics and economics, and that's the problem.
I guess my issue would be, I'm not saying that their leadership is trying to be racist or something like that. It just seems like they are tapping into a groundswell of racial freakout. I mean, because these emails would represent, hundreds of people from, I'd assume mostly the Dallas area. I've now interacted with a whole lot of them when I've tried to post and say that I don't think extremely racist stuff is okay.
Yeah.
And I end up with just literally, hundreds of emails back bashing, me for being one of his, they call me one of his brown shirt thugs who's joined in and that kind of stuff, just for trying to say something against racism. And it seems hard for me to believe that they wouldn't know that there's a significant amount of this going on within their movement. Again, like I said, I'm not accusing their leadership of promoting this. You know, I'm sure there's a couple African Americans who are involved, that kind of thing, but it seems like a lot of this is tapping into a sort of, like I said, a racial freakout response.
Robert, I appreciate your call. Lori, yeah.
Can I just say, you know, and yes, I am talking from a leadership position, but I'm talking from someone that is almost every night of the week, I am meeting with a small city group all over the Metroplex. I meet with our local people almost every night of the week, where I meet with them and I encourage them and I give them instruction about how to proceed and how to grow their groups. And so I am meeting with these grassroots people. So I want to stand up for all of our people that he is saying these things about, because they're not like that at all.
We understand the reality you're describing. He's describing a different one, and he sounds sincere in it. Let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Yes, I would have to say that I agree with the Tea Party movement, and it has nothing to do with the color of anybody's skin.
Okay.
It has to do with their policies. It wouldn't matter if it was John Kerry, Howard Dean, and if you really stop and think, like with the one gentleman said, it's about the people he has around him, the people he had around him before he became president. I mean, Reverend Wright, the man is he is an anti-Semite racist. Louis Farrakhan, who he said is a great man, is a racist. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the leader of the New Black Panther Party, is a racist. And the president calls these people his friends. So, yes, people should be very worried and very upset what's going on. In fact, the man he's nominated to be the head of the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, is talking about we have more to fear about white supremacists who are anti-government, the people that are survivalist and identify with Christianity. Now, that to me is a slap in the face. I mean, the people who identify with Christianity, I mean, I don't see a lot of people, Christian people, running around wanting to blow planes up.
Jerry, what do you hope for from the Tea Party movement? What's your hope?
Well, my hope is to have solid, conservative-type, sensible people that they can bring up to the fore. I mean, just normal people, not people who have sold their soul to the devil to become politicians. Just average Americans that really care about their country.
And Republicans? Republican politicians then, or not?
No, it wouldn't matter. I know Democrats are just as good as any Republican I know, but it's people who care about their country and want to do what's best for the country, not for one party or another party.
Jerry, we got it. I appreciate your call. Let me get another one right here. Randy in Cheshire, Connecticut. Randy, you're on the air. Hello, Randy.
Caller's last point about Christian, and Mr. McQueen said the number 2 on his flag represented both the disciples and the revolution.
Or the 13 at the Last Supper, I guess, yeah.
Right, the 13 at the Last Supper. Well, Christ's followers were actually socialists. Let me just read you Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. All things were held in common, all possessions and goods were sold and parted with to all men as every man had need. The thing is, I think there's a disconnect among all these people in these tea parties and these groups, in that their beliefs don't really match up with other things they say and do. You know, yes, they're not racist, but they put out a lot of things that appear racist. They say, a lot of them say they're very fundamentally Christian, and yet they're going against the fundamental tenets of the very earliest believers in Christ. But there's no intellectual consistency. There's no ideological consistency.
Let us pick it up. Jeff McQueen, what do you say to Randy?
Well, you know, let me change the topic a little bit from racism and talk about socialism. If you look at a lot of the unions across the country, there's a lot of people out there in the picket lines that talk about a job as a right and health care as a right. And none of these are guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. But yet they're out there, and there's a lot of people, you know, there's no question the Socialist Party and people that are even communists have invaded, you know, the unions across the United States of America. But to paint the unions in the United States as being socialist and communist is absolutely wrong. And this is the same thing with the Tea Party. To paint us as racist, you know what? When it comes to politics, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, What you ought to look at is action versus words.
Randy's challenging your interpretation, I guess, of the Christian message. Sure, Lord.
Would you mind if I address that?
Not
Tom, thanks. Being the daughter of a Baptist pastor, I think I could kind of address that. First of all, that passage talks about how that the disciples, how they shared what they had with amongst themselves. They didn't give their money and their treasure to Caesar, and then Caesar distributed the money. That's socialism. They gave their money to the lesser to help each other out. That's what Christians do. We give money to people directly, and we help people with their needs directly. When the money goes back to the government and they redistribute it, that's socialism, and that's not what occurred in Acts.
Let me get a call from New York, DePoister, New York. Sheila, you're on the air, Sheila.
Hi. I just want to say a couple things. I think probably there is every color in the Tea Party movement, because to me what their main movement is saying is, we're right, you're wrong. We're victims of society, we're victims of government, we're victims of anybody who disagrees with us. And secondly, I really think they are shills for the corporate America, because everything they say, they hate the government, they love the country, they love corporations, they love private business. And who is it that stops private business from misusing average people? It's the government. But since Reagan and his gospel of wealth that has come into every part of Christianity, this idea of wealth, and you can say you're an everyday American, and that's fine, so am I. I don't want corporations running my life. I don't want the Tea Party people running my life. I don't want government running my life. I feel no comfort with them at all. And I, you know, they're right, they're victims of media. Everything that goes wrong with them, it's somebody else's fault. I don't hear any personal responsibility that they're constantly preaching at the rest of us.
Sheila, we've got it, and I thank you very much for your call. Let me get one more right here from Derry, New Hampshire. Catherine, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of points. One, it's sort of disturbing to me that we continually seem to have linked democracy and capitalism, whereas capitalism and socialism are systems of economics and are not necessarily tied, nor have ever been tied, through the Founding Fathers or the Constitution to our democratic rights.
Well, there were a lot of property rights foundations in the Constitution, surely.
True, but they never said, thou shalt have capitalism. And it's sort of disturbing to me that we seem to want to pick and choose which institutions our country runs and which institutions should be private. Nobody seems to mind that we have public schools, that we have a public post office, that we have public firemen and public police officers.
Catherine, so, I've got it, but I've just got Lori and Jeffrey for another minute here. Thank you for your call. Jeffrey, what's your vision? What are you hoping for? If the Tea Party works out for you, to your vision, what would we see 10 years down the road?
Well, I hope across America that no politician will ever be able to travel this country without seeing this flag, so that they're reminded who they work for. And
how about the American flag? That's not good enough? The, you know, stars and stripes?
No, and this flag has never been meant to replace our national flag, but this flag has a specific purpose, and this purpose has come. And its time has come to show the politicians and the media very quickly that we're ready for a second American revolution. And with that, you know, in America, we have a choice of four boxes if we want to make a political change. We can go to the soapbox, we can go to the ballot box, or we can go to the jury box, and hopefully we won't have to go to the bullet box.
The bullet box? Are you talking about armed revolution? Is that what you've got in mind?
Well, have you seen the ammunition sales in the last 12 months?
Lori Medina, is that what you're picturing 10 years down the road?
No, I mean, actually, just kind of back of what we're focusing on here. You know, you've said several times that, we're angry and there's, all this going on. I just want to reinforce that actually we're very hopeful, and this is the most hopeful we've been in a long time. And I just want to encourage everyone out there with a conservative heart and a conservative mind to stand up for our country.
Lori Medina with the Dallas Tea Party in Dallas, Texas. Thank you very much for being with us today, Lori. And Jeff McQueen in Royal Oak, Michigan. Mr. McQueen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Great to have you both with us. When we come back, a view of where the Tea Party movement is going in American party politics. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. been talking this hour about the hot and growing Tea Party movement and what it means for the GOP and for the country. We've just heard from a couple of Tea Party activists in Michigan and in Texas. Right now, let's turn to a couple of big political analysts in Washington. Matt Continetti joins us, associate editor at the Weekly Standard, author of The Persecution of Sarah Palin and the K Street Gang. Matt, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And from Washington, Eleanor Clift joins us, contributing editor at Newsweek magazine, regular panelist on the McLaughlin Group. Her latest book is 2 Weeks of Life. Eleanor Clift, welcome back to you as well.
Glad to be with you.
So, Matt, you've got some strong conservative sympathies here. What do you see in the Tea Party? Is it a big deal or not? Is it a problem or an advantage for the GOP?
I think it's a huge deal. I think it's the first real right-wing protest movement I've seen, certainly, and I think it's spontaneously generated, despite the Democratic accusations that it's all AstroTurf. I think these are real people with real concerns and real pull, actually, on a broad base of the electorate. And I think at the moment, the concerns of the Tea Party activists over government spending primarily, and then also government taxation secondarily, are resonating with independent voters. And that's why we see the erosion of President Obama's job approval over the past 6 months to the point where now it's below 50 in several polls. And so where we see the unpopularity of the Democratic health care bills. And I think while we see the GOP now reaching parity in the congressional generic ballot.
But, Matt, do the Tea Party activists bolster the GOP, or do they end up splitting them? Some of them are talking about, the GOP's party to the litany of complaints they've got, and they don't want any part of it.
Well, the paradox is the Tea Party has grown more popular. And as we've seen last month's NBC Wall Street Journal poll is more popular than both the GOP and the Democratic Party. It's not even an official party, but just this Tea Party movement is very popular. That has not redounded to the benefit of the GOP in polling. And I think a lot of the Tea Partiers, they're enthused, they are active, but they don't want to identify with the Republican Party just yet. However, I do think they came out to vote in the Virginia and New Jersey gubernatorial elections. They came out to vote, of course, in the New York 23 special election, though they lost that one by a relatively thin margin. And I think they're going to come out to vote in the special election next week to replace Ted Kennedy's holdover in Massachusetts.
And, of course, we've seen their sway in the Republican Party in Florida. Eleanor Clift, what do you see in the Tea Party movement, and how do you see its political ramifications?
Well, I wouldn't credit the Tea Party movement with the Republican victories in Virginia and New Jersey. I think those were more widespread victories for the Republicans and really played off the disappointing performance, especially in New Jersey, of the incumbent Democrat and a very lackluster candidate in Virginia. But having said that, the only energy in American politics today is on the far right. And I do think that there was an element of orchestration initially at those town hall meetings in August, but I do think that there is a grassroots populism that is at play here, and that it could benefit the Republicans if they can kind of keep it away from the more extreme elements that we saw in August. And it does have also the potential to backfire on the Republicans when you have the far right challenging the right in primaries. And if the more extreme candidate wins, especially in statewide races, that it's wonderful to be real popular with the base, but that's not how you win a majority.
Eleanor, do you see if there's grassroots
too early to declare whether this is an unalloyed positive thing for Republicans or a negative? I think it's somewhere in between, we're not really sure where it's going.
If there's grassroots populism here, Eleanor, do you see it as having its hands on the wheel strongly enough to sort of decide its own future? I mean, early on, Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works were involved here. Dick Armey was involved. Money from the Koch brothers, oil money, some pretty big Republican strategists early on in this. Does the fire get womped up and then guided into the Republican column come November or not?
Yeah, if the movement does not have its own leader, and I don't think they do, I imagine you could say that Sarah Palin certainly is their heroine and their inspiration, but what she's all about politically is a bit of a mystery. And then you look at the Tea Party supporters, and you do, they're mostly talk show hosts, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and I don't think that adds up to a serious political movement that has an electoral goal. So I think that what's fascinating about this movement is that it does not have a leader, and but if it doesn't have a leader, I just don't see how it can become a really important factor on its own in electoral politics.
Maybe no leader, but a lot of energy, as you say. Matt Cottinetti, what about this issue of extremism? Eleanor says maybe some of that has drifted away, but we just talked with a couple of activists in Michigan and Texas. I don't think they'd call themselves extremists, but they were comparing health care to the Holocaust and saying, you know, if the ballot doesn't work in the ballot box, we may have to go to the bullet box. It can sound pretty extreme.
Yeah, well, I mean, in any of these broad-based kind of, you know, grassroots movements, you're going to have people on the fringe along with the people who are more in the middle. And I think what's helping the GOP right now in terms of the Tea Party is, as Eleanor mentioned, in New Jersey and Virginia, it was the independent voters, as I said, whose agendas coincided with the Tea Party activists. Independent voters right now are also upset at the Obama administration's big spending. They don't like the health care bill. They don't like the taxes coming down the pike at the end of this year. And they disapprove of the president's performance on domestic policy. And so the independent voters and the Tea Party activists are enough to have a center-right coalition that brings Republican victories. And so you're going to have people on the fringe. But if the fringe and the activists don't align in the center, don't align with the center, don't share the same values or aspirations or the same enemies, then they won't have any political success at all. At the moment, though, that alignment is there.
Let's get our listeners in here. Hawesville, Kentucky. Pat, you're on the air.
So I'd like to point out to this man that just spoke that was two of the leaders that said that, comparing the Holocaust to the health care reform. These people are extremists. I am tired of the media giving so much attention to these people, and I would like to hear the people from the opposite side get as much attention. I'm sick of these people. I'd protest against them, except I have a job and I don't have time to stand around on a street corner hollering about killing people and making remarks about people's race and stuff like that. I'm tired of these people, and I'm tired of the attention they get, and I'd like the media to be a little more balanced in this.
Pat, we're trying, but I appreciate your call very much. Thank you for calling. Let's get one more right here. Omaha, Nebraska. Tom, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to bring up the point about they call themselves the Tea Partiers and how, you know, it's laissez-faire, hands-off, no big government, less government interaction. I'd like to ask the question to those people, is that going to take us back to a Bush era? I mean, what's their big idea for our financial economic crisis? Lower taxes, have companies shipping jobs overseas still, that kind of thing. I mean, as McCain was in campaigning for office, he was saying, no, we need less government, less taxes. Well, where is that going to take us? Isn't that what they're... their main slogan is at the moment?
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Tom. Eleanor Clift, how about it? A lot of cocked eyebrows at where the market took us recently. The Tea Party is calling for a whole lot more. That even laissez-faire, Tom in Omaha says. What do you see there?
Well, I think the caller makes a good point that this is all protest. There really isn't a positive agenda other than the standard mantra, you know, smaller government, no more taxes. And even conservative economists would say that's not the recipe really to get out of the current economic problem that we're in. President Obama was elected with 53% of the electorate, and his polling now hovers at just around 50 or just below. So given all of the challenges that he's taken on, I don't think he's done all that well that badly. And I think the debate about the health care bill is still to be had. And Republicans are saying, well, let's just keep the parts of it that we like and repeal the rest. Well, that's not how you put legislation together or how you can bring about the changes in a massive part of the electorate. So it's a lot of rhetoric that sounds good. But if people listen carefully, they don't hear any realistic formulas for moving forward. And Obama may have lost some ground, but the Republican Party as a whole certainly has not capitalized on it in terms of its brand image with the American public.
Let's go to Jesse in Waynesboro, Virginia. Jesse, you're on the air.
Hi. I would consider myself an early Tea Party activist, although I came from the Ron Paul Revolution, and I find it interesting that nobody's talking about foreign policy. For us, foreign policy seems to be the greatest threat to personal liberty and the largest catalyst for the growth of government. And I don't see how we can be against social welfare and all this sort of big business and pro everything else, but then still be pro foreign policy. I mean, that's taking away more liberty and taking more tax money from us than anything else. Right.
Jesse, what do you mean by pro foreign policy? Do you mean more wars or what?
Well, we want less war, less foreign intervention, you know, less meddling with other countries. And we talk about the foreign fathers, and that's, you know, talking with other nations and trading with them, not bombing them, and not thinking we can change everybody into a democracy. Let's take care of ourselves at home and keep our money at home. And I think that's a gigantic step into understanding what the real Tea Party movement is about, and also with the Ron Paul Revolution and the Campaign for Liberty.
Jesse, let me get just a couple more. I'll take it back to my guest, Bruce, in Princeton, Indiana. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that the last caller kind of touched on my point. The one point is that in regards to the arming of our citizenry, we have...
we heard an earlier guest talking about ammunition sales. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. There's a militia movement, and I'm not going to speak in generalities. I'll just be specific. And here in Indiana, you hear a radio station as I travel throughout the state in my work. There's a militia movement that goes on to tell you how you can purchase arms and don't have to register these arms because you build them yourself. And this is this falls in line with what's going on with the mindset that's kind of on the fringe towards violence. And the caller before me talked about our foreign policy. When you heard Barack Obama speaking in Cairo, when he said he wanted Christian Muslims and Jews to come together, youth, so that they can work,
yes,
and help solve problems, that,
yeah,
was a totally unique and totally different a foreign policy approach. We don't need to be sending arms and weapons to other countries, even though we're the number one manufacturer and exporter of it. But we need to be doing this as a nation rather than infighting and actually encouraging people to purchase weapons that they don't have to register.
Bruce,
that's
we got it. Yeah, we got it. Thank you very much. And one last call, Jennifer, Groton, Massachusetts. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi, I've been listening all morning, and I think the part that I have to agree with is there is no leader to this Tea Party movement. I was at the Tea Parties in Boston last April. I took my son, let him skip school for the day, and we went down there. I'm part of the Tea Party movement because I consider myself a fiscal conservative, and I want to see a return to personal responsibility. I hear Eleanor Clift refer to us as being the far right. I don't know what she means by the far right, but usually when I hear that term, I start thinking about people who are fretting about abortion and religion and want to get into all those issues. That's not the Tea Party movement. You hear the people stand up and say, you know, stay on message. Now, are there racists? Yeah, it sounds like there's probably some people who are not the people, you know, the majority of the people aren't. The majority of the people, you know, they have the one thing that seems to be in common is the fiscal conservative side, and that's why there's not a single strong leader, and we are individuals.
Jennifer, we've got it, and I appreciate it. Our time is short. Matt Continetti, how about it? Is there a new sort of complexion? If this is, what do you say? Is this right of the Republican Party, to the right of it? Is that a new far right? Does it have a different complexion politically, policy-wise?
No, I think the caller is absolutely right. I think the thing that does unify the Tea Party activists, above all, is this stress on fiscal responsibility against big government spending. And that applies not only to Democrats and Obama, but also to Bush Republicans. And that's why I think you don't see the real rebound in national perceptions of the Republican Party. It's because Bush and the congressional Republicans had a terrible record on spending and missed a large opportunity to show that Republicans could restrain the growth of government when they were in power. So it's more than the Ron Paul movement. It's more than the militia people. I don't even know if they're involved at all. It's more than any of these slightly fringe groups, but it's a mainstream of fiscal responsibility that ties into what the message that Republican candidates are going to be pushing in the midterm elections this fall.
Eleanor, how do you expect the GOP to respond to the energy of the Tea Party movement then with this whole great big spectrum from fiscal conservatism to militias and you name it?
They're going to follow the line that Matt Continente just advanced, that this is all about fiscal conservatism, and they're going to downplay the social and cultural conservatism that often is twinned up on the right. And all I can ask is where were these people when the deficit was rising during the Bush administration, and there were two wars that weren't paid for and a prescription drug bill that wasn't paid for? Suddenly, when these policies are put into play under the Obama administration, in effect to counter a huge recession, people are taking aim at government. So I think there's some political opportunism here as well, and along with some mass amnesia on the part of Republicans and many libertarians who identified with the Republican Party as to actually what has happened in this country over the last 9 years, not just the last year.
Well, we know where they are now, in a lot of streets and in a lot of faces, the Tea Party movement. Eleanor Clift with Newsweek, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Matt Continente at the Weekly Standard, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. What of you? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.